I'd like us to turn to Genesis chapter 1 again this morning. We've had quite a break from our last message in Genesis chapter 1. Message number 5. And I'd like to read the first 5 verses for us again. Trust some of you are memorizing these verses as we go along. We're going slow enough so you can keep up with us, right? No. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. We're looking this morning at verse 4, second part, and verse 5. And this is our fifth message. We've noted a number of things with regard to the first verses in Genesis here. We saw the Trinity implied at least in two different ways in these verses, these early verses of creation. And we're continuing our studies on the light. God created the light. Now, what did God create first again? What's that? Heavens and the earth. He created first, right? That's the first thing he created according to the scripture. And then he created light. And we're looking at the light, we've considered it already to some degree. And we said in our last message that God created the light mediately, not immediately. That is, he created the light through Jesus Christ. God created it through Christ. So they both created the light. Jesus Christ created it directly, God indirectly. We also considered the state of light after it was created. The state of light was good. Now, God did not say that about the heavens and the earth when he had created them, but he said it about the light when he had created it. And we asked the question, why was this good and why didn't he say the other was good? Well, maybe you remember. Now, I mentioned last time as well, when it comes to this topic of good, this is one of the big areas for the philosophers. What is good? And they have been debating this over the number of thousands of years. They still don't have an answer. They still don't know. It still keeps changing, and it always does keep changing. Always will until they find God. And then the answer comes as to what is good. I wonder if anybody remembers here the definition for good. Thank you very much. That which lines up with the perfect will and character of God, that is what is good. You remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus, said, "Good master, what shall we do to inherit eternal life?" And he said, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." There's our rule, there's our measurement for what is good. Let me ask you a further question here in review. Why did God not call the heavens and the earth good when they were created? We gave at least an effort to answer. Anybody remember? They still needed changing, right? From there on, he began to change and to make what he wanted. When he had created the light, he called it good because it was finished. Never changed again. All were finished and so on. Well, with that bit of review, let's continue our consideration of the creation of light as we find it in this text, verse 3. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. We're considering this morning, first of all, what was done to the light. It tells us here that God divided the light from the darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't read past that and say, what does it mean? God divided the light from the darkness.
What does it mean?
Well, I checked the commentaries and they were strangely silent on this matter. You know, when the commentators fall silent, it's either insignificant or they don't know. They don't have any opinions. So I don't know which it was. But the question is this. What does it mean God divided the light from the darkness? I thought about that. I don't know if I have the answer to that. But remember, at this time there was no sun, no moon, no stars, no planets. Just the earth and the expanse, the heavens. That's all that was there. There was no light source. And it says God made the light. Now what did he make? It wasn't the sun. The sun didn't exist yet. And then it tells us that after he created the light, he divided the light from the darkness. Well, the possibility that suggests itself to me is this, that God first made a light source. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says that God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The light shone out of darkness. That tells me that this light source was within the created universe. It wasn't something from beyond, it was within the created universe. Because it did not shine through the expanse, it came from within this expanse. So it's something that God created within the universe. And he commanded it to shine out of darkness. Possibly, let me suggest something to you this morning. Possibly the light was like water. It ran around everything and filled in wherever it went. That's possibly. So if you have that kind of light, there wouldn't be, it would expel darkness except for where the light couldn't run around, right? It's just a possibility. So God said he would divide the light from the darkness, and he set in motion, possibly, set in motion that light must obey this law. It can only emanate directly from the source. Straight away from the source. That way, if something stands in the way behind it, it is dark. The light doesn't just run around like water or so on. Maybe God put into force a law like that and separated the light from the darkness. You see, if that were the case, if he hadn't done that, there wouldn't be day and night. And now there was day and night when he separated the light from the darkness. Now, the separation of light from darkness is the first of three separations in creation. The light was separated from the darkness, verse 4. The atmosphere was divided from the water, verse 7. And the land was divided from the seas, verse 9. Three great separations here in Genesis 1. Well, we want to look for a moment at how light was contrasted to darkness. In verse 5, the light and darkness are contrasted. In verse 4, the light and darkness are contrasted by description. By the adjective good, light is called good. Darkness is never called good that I know, except with the possibility that in the end God saw everything and he said it was all good. That is a possibility there. Otherwise, darkness is not called good. When we come to verse 5, we find that light and darkness contrasted in that light is called day and darkness is called night. Now we take these all for granted because it's always been like that. But God did this here in early creation. Darkness and night are often associated with evil, while light and daytime are associated with good. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 3 for a moment this morning. John chapter 3, great chapter in the New Testament on the new birth. I'll look at Jesus' words in John chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. I want you to consider these verses this morning in light of your own life. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Now, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Comparing this light now with the light that we see in the world. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Do you know, when our deeds are evil, we like darkness. Why do we like darkness then? Because it hides. You can hide things. If we want to do evil, we don't like the light. It exposes. Usually when we want to steal or so on, we choose the darkness, right? We don't want to be seen, to be doing bad deeds. When we're doing good deeds, we're not afraid to be seen. It's when we're doing bad, we're afraid to be seen. Verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. You see, you may be here this morning and you may not be a Christian. You may not even know where you go if you died today. And you don't like it when exposure comes. I want you to turn to one more passage, Ephesians 5:13. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. A verse that has spoken greatly to me. It says in verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Well, how do you expose things in darkness? Well, just turn the light on. Then you expose it. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Maybe sometimes you feel there like the preacher is just pointing at you. He's pointing. He's really not. You see, it's the exposure of light. And when light comes and we're in darkness, we want to hide. We don't want to be seen. Right? That's how it is. We don't like the light when we live in darkness. There's an easy way to take care of it. Just be ready to do right and to do what God wants. And that will take care of that matter. Well, back to Genesis chapter 1. We want to look at the various uses of the word day. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. Two uses of the word day. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, if you did some careful looking at that verse, you would find out that the first word day and the second word day do not talk about the same thing. Okay? I want to mention here several uses of the word day, doing it for a very specific purpose. God is, what God is talking about here is important for us to understand, because of it, people have made misinterpretations on the word day and have fallen into an unbiblical theory with regard to creation. The word day has one common denominator. In all its uses, it has one common denominator. It is a period of time. That's the word day. It speaks of a period of time. Now, the length of that time is determined by the context. And one must always take its use in the context. Somebody said, a text without a context is a pretext. We must always take it in context. So it refers to a period of time. This period of time may range from 12 hours to 1,000 years. Or 1,007, if you like. It may have various different uses, this word day. So let's look at the use of this word day. It may refer to the light part of the day. The time when it is light. You know how it is here at Tompkins Landing? At this time of the year, we have light almost 24 hours of the day. Now, in the winter time, it becomes 6 to 7 hours. So our day length changes. But the daytime is still the daytime. It's the time when it's light outside. That's one use of the word thee. I'd like you to turn to John 11:9 just to look at something. Keep your finger in Genesis and go to John and look at this use in the Bible. John chapter 11 and verse 9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day?" Well, in Israel, that's about how it is, about 12 hours in a day. Here we would say, well, are there not 23 hours in the day? So we have longer days up here. But in the winter, we would say, are there not 6 or 7 hours in a day? Because it's short. We're talking now about the light part of the day. You see that? Not anything else but the light part of the day. Then it may refer to the light and the dark time. Both. Now we have a 24-hour time period. In this sense, there are 7 days in the week. 7 days. Now look at verse 5. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. The first word day refers to the light part of the day. Now look at the rest. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now we have the night and the light referred to as a day. Here's the 24-hour period. Now this time period doesn't change from here to Israel or to the equator or to Bolivia. That doesn't change, whereas the light part does change. That is another use of the word day, both used in the same verse. Then it may refer to the lifetime of a certain person. Jesus said of Abraham, who can finish this off? He rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He was talking about Abraham. He looked from way over there and he saw my day. Well, what did he see? He saw Jesus coming into this world, talking about his lifetime here on the earth. We maybe talk about Grandfather's Day. In our grandpa's day, you know, they did things like this. Well, we're talking about his lifetime. That is another use of the word day. By the way, a reference there, John 8:56. Now, it may refer to a time period in which something is accomplished. That's referred to as a day. The time period in which something is accomplished. I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4 and see it in this verse. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now there we have the day of creation referred to, and the day of creation is 6 days long. That's the day the heavens and the earth were created and everything that was in them. Go on. That's something being accomplished in a time period. Now that's a shorter time period that it speaks about there. There is a time period in the Bible known as the Day of the Lord. Joel is the most famous book for speaking about the Day of the Lord. Now, does anybody know how long the Day of the Lord is? How long is the Day of the Lord? 1,000 years and plus 7. 1,007 years. Yes, that is the Day of the Lord. And this day, the Day of the Lord, has a night time. It's almost like living at Tompkins Landing, you know that? The Day of the Lord. It has a night time that is 7 years long and a light time that is 1,000 years long. That's the day. It has the darkness and the light. It has the darkest darkness this world has ever seen. I want to remind you this morning that we are very, very close to the darkest time this world has ever known. I don't know if you watch what's happening in the Middle East. My friends, I want to warn you this morning, we are very close to the darkest time this world has ever known. It's the night time of the Day of the Lord. It will be 7 years long, precisely. It will give way to the light time of the Day of the Lord, which will be the brightest daytime this world has ever known for 1,000 years. It's just over the horizon from us. It's just ahead of us, my friends. Very, very close. The Day of the Lord. Now, from these uses of the day of the Lord we have looked at, we can very easily determine in Genesis chapter 1 verse 5, God called the light day, that he's talking about the daytime of the day. There's no argument there, is that correct? Then the second part, so the evening and the morning were the first day. I ask you, what day is that? Somebody tell me. What is that? 24-hour day. Thank you very much. Because here is where the error creeps in into church doctrine. There is a teaching abroad, and you may come across it in your reading. It's called the day-age theory. As a matter of fact, it's not even outside of our community. It's here. The day-age theory. It is this. It says that a day can be longer than 24 hours, and the 6 days of creation were longer than 24 hours. As a matter of fact, one day was 7 billion years long, and the next one was 69 billion, and so, well, each day varies as to length, but they're millions or billions of years long these days, because it refers to a time period. Well, that's correct. It does refer to a time period, but the context must be considered. Do you see it? And if you consider the context, you cannot do that with this word day here. Seven times over we have it in our text in Genesis chapter 1, or six times. And so, what happens with this view is that it allows for evolution in this hand and Christianity in this one. It is a bowing and a worshiping at the shrine of the secular world of evolution. My friends, you don't need to do that. No, you don't need to do that no matter how big their seeming facts seem to be. Just go with the truth. It'll always come out in the wash. In the end, I will tell you, you will find out it took God 7 days. Somebody said, little girl, took God 7 days. She said, how come it took him so long? God could have done it in a lot less time. He took 7 days because it's significant. He's teaching us through these 7 days. That's the reason I bring out these uses of the word day and the error of this use, so that when you buy materials and you read of the day-age theory, you will understand that is erroneous teaching. It is a text taken out of context, becoming a pretext. All right, well, we want to conclude day one in verse 5. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Here's a sentence that will be repeated seven times, exactly the same except for the number. Verse 5, so the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 8, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 13, so the evening and the morning were the third day, and so on. This is repeated over and over again. Now notice carefully the use of the word day in verse 5 here. See, it's a 24-hour time period, and we've mentioned that already. It seems like I'm into questions this morning. Let me ask you some other questions. When did God begin his creation, at night or during the day? In the evening. So he began creating things at night. Well, when else could he begin? There was no light. Okay? Said maybe that's why the world was tahu wa bahu, without form and void. He did it in the night. No. God... Actually, Scripture tells us that the night and the light are the same to God. Doesn't matter. But he began in the evening. He began creation at night. Now, what did God create at night? I think I asked that before. What did God create at night? What did he create at night? Oh, well, I suppose it started. The heavens and the earth he created at night, and then he created the light. Well, I guess he would have actually done that while it was night, Henry. But it became light right away, right? Turn on the light, right? So during the first night, he made the heavens and the earth. Now let me ask you, from those questions, when does the day begin? Midnight. That's Gentile, right? Does the day begin at midnight? When does the day begin? In the evening. Look at this. The evening and the morning were the first day. If you go to Israel today, well, actually, some of our Seventh-day Adventist friends here in the north, I'm not sure what they do on the Sabbath here. Do you know what they do up north here on the Sabbath? See, I worked with a friend from the Seventh-day Persuasion, and Friday evening, when that sun dipped down underneath there on the horizon, everything came to a standstill. That's when the day begins. The Sabbath begins in the evening. Monday begins in the evening. Tuesday begins in the evening. Every day begins in the evening. It doesn't begin in the morning. See, everything began in the dark. You see that? The midnight beginning of the day, that is something we have generated later on. God didn't begin everything at midnight. He began in the evening, according to our text. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now I read in the commentaries, and they say, Hebrew thinking says that the day begins in the evening. No, it's not Hebrew thinking. It wasn't the Hebrews who began creation. It was God who began creation. The day begins in the evening. Now, because we're a little mixed up, I'm sure God will overlook that up here. All right. Well, here we have then the first sentence of seven that begins like this, and the evening and the morning. Darkness exists by nature. To change that, energy must be exerted. The state of light is a state of constant energy. If you have these little calculators that tap into the energy of light, you know what happens when it gets a little bit too dark? You can't see, the calculator goes off. These little calculators will tap into the energy that's in the light. Light is a constant source of energy. Darkness is an energyless state. You can't tap into the darkness for use, for something profitable, not that I know. Furthermore, light is not a natural state. Light is not first. Darkness is first, and then comes the light. This is a principle we're going to look at in a moment. Every day begins in the evening, but the night gives way to the light. The natural gives way to the unnatural. That's a principle that carries on throughout the Christian life. So as soon as the sun disappears, the night begins, and the earth is an energyless and natural state. As soon as the sun appears again in the morning, energy pours out over the earth, and the daytime of the day has come. The priest in the old system would be watching for the first tip of the sun to come out, and then he would blow the horn. When the sun rose, it's time to move. The day has come. So the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening is representative of the whole night period, and the morning is representative of the whole light period. That's why evening and morning are one day. Revelation 22:5 tells us that in the New Jerusalem, there's no need for the sun. It doesn't say there won't be a sun, it just says there's no need for it because God and Jesus Christ are there, and they are the source of light in the New Jerusalem. I want to conclude this morning with several principles from this passage. Principle number one, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. God is still in that business today. At your workplace, wherever you may be, God commands the light to shine out of darkness, you being the light. You see, you were one time darkness too. And then the light came, and now he commands the light to shine out of darkness. So he is still in this business today. I'd like you to turn to Philippians 2 for a passage here. Philippians chapter 2. I want to read verses 14 through 16. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. See, God is still commanding the light to shine out of darkness. That's what he wants us to be in the midst of a dark and perverse world. He wants us to be light in the world. Let me ask you a personal question this morning. How are you at the workplace? How is it in your everyday life?
How are you at home? God still is in the business of commanding the light to shine out of darkness. Principle number two, God made three major separations in Genesis 1. The first separation is the separation of light from darkness. God is still in the business of separating light from darkness. How is it in your life this morning? Let me ask you this morning, are there things in your life that are not right? God is in the business of separating that. He wants to separate the light from the darkness in our life. He's in the business of separating that from us. Worldliness is forbidden us. It's darkness. We're not to love this world and so on. He separates us from the world. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6:14 for one moment. We're concluding with these principles here this morning. 2 Corinthians 6. I want to read verse 14 through 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Let me ask you, has God separated you from the darkness? How is it on the job? Can you follow along with the darkness on one hand and then go with the Christian and follow with the light on the other hand? What fellowship does light have with darkness? What fellowship does it have? You know, when you turn the light on, the darkness has to go. The scripture tells us that there should be a separation here. God separated in the beginning of creation. He is still in the business of separating these things in our life. Principle number three. A full day requires darkness and light. In a full day, there is darkness and there is light. First comes the night. Maybe you are here this morning. You have never accepted Christ as your Savior. That's where we all begin. We all begin in the night. It's the time of darkness. And then comes the light. When we accept Christ, then comes the light. That's how it is in the day of salvation. That is how it is in the day of personal experience. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in some dark difficulty of life. Let me give you this encouragement this morning. First comes the night, then comes the light. That's the principle that is scriptural. You see, darkness is an energyless state, but light is a state full of energy. It is so in the physical world, it is so in the spiritual world. Then there is the day of a particular experience. It may be at any time, like we've talked about some of this already. There may be a time of tragedy. There may be a time of some great loss. There may be a time of sickness. There may be a time of family problems. It's a night time of experience. Let me encourage this morning. First comes the night. The principle from creation onward, first comes the night. Then comes the light. It's there. It's coming. Whatever it may be like in your life. Well, I suppose I can't go by the clock on the wall, can I? I could be going for a long time here this morning. Well, may God impress on your life these principles and to walk by them as we live our life in this world. God bless you.